Okay, imagine this. A digital threat slips onto your system, maybe encrypts everything, and then just poof, vanishes without ever using the internet.
It sounds like something out of a spy movie almost.
Right, but it's real. Today we're doing a deep dive into Momona ransomware. It's kind of redefining stealth in
It
cybersecurity.
really is.
So, our mission today is to unpack what makes Momona so different, such a unique challenge, and maybe more importantly, how you can actually protect yourself, your organization against it.
We'll be looking at the latest research.
Exactly. Pulling insights from what the experts are finding right now will guide you through it.
Let's get into it.
Okay, so let's unpack this. What really sets Momona apart? We keep hearing it's a game changer because it operates totally offline, no internet needed.
That's the core of it.
Yeah.
Can you explain that a bit more? What does an offline operation strategy actually mean for ransomware, and why does that immediately like punch a hole in our usual defenses?
Right. So, most ransomware, historically anyway, it needs to phone home. It has to talk back to, command and control servers, get instructions, maybe send encryption keys back.
Standard procedure.
Exactly. Momona. It just skips that completely. It's totally self-contained. All the malicious code it needs is right there in the initial file. It executes local, does its job. And that creates this huge blind spot because, so many traditional defenses, they rely heavily on watching network traffic, looking for those suspicious connections, that phoning home.
But if there's no call.
If there's no traffic, there's nothing to flag. It just sails right past those network sensors.
Wow. Okay. That fundamentally changes things. And speaking of how clever it is, I read about this like tiny delay it uses, something almost invisible that helps it sneak past detection.
Oh yeah, that's another layer. But even before the delay, there are two other key things enhancing its stealth. First, it's minimal footprint design. I mean, it's really streamlined. Very small file size, efficient code, doesn't need a lot of bells and whistles.
So it runs fast, doesn't make much noise system-wise.
Precisely. It executes quickly, quietly. It doesn't trigger those resource-based alarms, like high CPU usage, that might catch clumsier malware.
Okay, minimal footprint. What's the second thing?
And this one. This is where it gets really tough for anyone trying to clean up afterwards. It has a self-destruction mechanism.
It deletes itself.
Exactly. After it encrypts the files and drops the ransom note, it automatically removes itself from the system, just wipes its own traces.
So the evidence, it just vanishes.
Pretty much. Which, as you can imagine, makes forensic analysis, incident response, significantly more challenging. You're looking for a ghost.
That combination, minimal footprint, self-destruction, that's genuinely terrifying. So if the evidence literally disappears, how do forensics teams even start? How do they figure out what happened? Does it make figuring out who did it almost impossible?
It certainly makes attribution much, much harder. It forces a shift in forensic approach. You can't rely on finding the malware executable itself necessarily.
So what do you look for?
You have to focus more on the effects. System-level changes, logs, if you have detailed logging enabled before the event, maybe artifacts left by the delivery mechanism rather than the ransomware itself. Pre-attack behaviors become critical.
Okay. And how does it kick off? If it doesn't need to phone home, how does it start running once it lands on a machine?
Simple execution. The user clicks on it or it gets triggered by another process. Once it runs on a Windows system, it just goes. It's built to be self-sufficient. No external bits needed, no network checks.
Which makes it super dangerous in those lockdown environments, right? Places with really restricted or monitored internet.
Exactly. Because it just doesn't care about those network controls. It operates entirely locally.
Okay, and you mentioned that delay mechanism earlier, this 3-second delay. It sounds sneaky. Can you break down the command it actually uses? What makes that so good at evasion?
Yeah, it's quite clever. It uses a standard Windows command prompt, cmd.exe, to run this specific command string, cmd.exe, cping 127 by 0.0.7N3 null invel FQ.
Okay, whoa, let's unpack that. Ping 127.0.0.7, not the usual 127.0.0.1.
Exactly. That's the first trick. It's detection avoidance. Some, let's say, lazier detection rules might only be looking for activity involving the standard 127.0.1 loopback address. Using 0.7 might just slip past those basic checks.
Subtle. And the mass on three part.
That tells the ping command to send only 3 packets. On localhost, this takes roughly 3 seconds. That's the timing manipulation.
Why the pause?
It helps the malware blend in. A tiny pause can make its execution pattern look less like a rapid, aggressive malware attack and more like, normal system background noise. It might also give other malicious processes time to spin up before detection kicks in.
Huh. And the last bit, null and del FQ.
Right. Null just hides the output of the ping command so you don't see it on the screen.
Yeah.
And the del FQ, well, that's the self-deletion instruction packed right into the same command line. It tells the system to forcefully F and quietly Q, delete the original malware file after the ping delay is done.
So it uses ping for evasion and timing, hides the evidence of that, and then triggers its own deletion, all in one line.
Pretty much. Built to disappear.
It's, yeah, elegantly malicious is the phrase that comes to mind. Just using standard tools against you, hiding, executing, and then cleaning up after itself.
It's a very efficient, very focused piece of malware.
So once it gets past those initial hurdles, does its main job, the actual ransomware part, differ much from others, or is the stealth its main innovation?
The payload itself is fairly typical ransomware behavior. Once it's active and that delay is over, its main goal is encryption.
Standard stuff them.
Yeah, it targets files on the infected system, encrypts them, it renames the files it hits, appending the AA's extension, and then it creates a ransom note, usually named reame.ae.txt, in the directories it affects.
So encrypt, rename, leave the note.
Correct. But the key differentiator, as we've been saying, is that it achieves this while leaving minimal forensic evidence of its own execution afterwards. The impact is there. The encrypted files, the node, but the tool itself is gone.
Right. That minimal forensic evidence part is what's really sticking with me. It just seems so effective. Which leads to the big question. If it's this stealthy, why are our standard security tools, the antiviruses, the network monitors we rely on, having such a hard time?
Yeah, that's the core detection dilemma. It really boils down to those features we discussed. First, obviously, no network activity. So traditional traffic analysis. Useless here.
Completely blind.
Right. Second, that rapid self-deletion. The window for detection, for actually catching the malware file itself, can be incredibly short. Seconds, maybe. Not much time for a scan to catch it in the act.
Gone before you know it.
Exactly. And third, the minimal system impact. Because it's so lightweight and efficient, it often doesn't trigger performance-based alerts. No sudden CPU spikes, no massive memory consumption that might flag other types of malware. It just doesn't draw attention to itself that way.
Okay, so our usual tripwires are just not working. That brings us to a really crucial point, then. If the old ways are failing, what new strategies are researchers working on? This feels critical for listeners. It sounds like we need to stop just watching the network gates and start watching what's happening inside the house.
Yeah, it's a perfect analogy. The focus absolutely has to shift towards behavioral monitoring. We need security systems that understand patterns of activity, not just signatures or network flows.
Okay, so what does that look like in practice, behavioral monitoring?
Well, one key aspect is tracking file system activity much more closely. Look for patterns like the sudden appearance of numerous files named reame.az.txt across different directories.
The ransom notes.
Exactly. Or systematic rapid file renaming where lots of files suddenly get the .az extension. Those are strong behavioral indicators of ransomware activity, even if you never saw the malware file itself.
Makes sense. Looking for the results of the attack. What else beyond file changes?
We also need to leverage much more detailed system event analysis. Tools like Sysmon, for example, can capture granular logs of process creation, command line arguments, registry changes, network connections. Even if Momona doesn't use them, others might.
So you might spot that weird ping command.
Potentially, yes. If you're logging command line arguments, you might catch that ping 127.0.0.7 execution, which is highly suspicious. It provides context that simple file scanning misses.
Okay, detailed logs, anything else?
And then there's real-time file integrity monitoring, FEM. Deploying robust FEM systems is key. These tools watch critical files and directories and immediately flag unauthorized changes.
So if something suddenly starts encrypting files in, say, your documents or downloads folder,
the FEM system should ideally raise an immediate alert, especially in high-risk locations like downloads where a user might accidentally run something malicious. It's about catching the action of encryption in progress.
So if we tie all this together, protecting against something like Momona, it really demands this multi-layered security approach you hear about, but maybe with a different emphasis. Less firewall, more internal surveillance.
That's a good way to put it. It's less about just the perimeter and much more about deep visibility within the endpoint. So first pillar, endpoint protection, but not just basic antivirus.
Right.
You need advanced endpoint detection and response EDR solutions.
Yeah.
These are the tools designed for behavioral analysis. They look at the sequence of actions, the techniques being used, not just matching a known bad file signature. That's critical for zero-day or self-deleting threats like Momona.
EDR for behavior. Got it. What's next?
Second, and maybe surprisingly important for an offline threat, user education.
How so? If it's not coming via a phishing link necessarily.
Well, it still has to get onto the system somehow, right?
Yeah.
Often via a malicious attachment at the dodgy download, maybe a USB drive. So users still need that training on identifying suspicious files and sources.
Okay, the entry vector.
But more than that, users need to be trained to be like human sensors, to spot weird behavior on their own machine. Like, hey, a command window flashed open and closed really fast. Or why are all my files suddenly getting renamed? Because those traditional alarms might not go off.
So empower the user to spot anomalies.
Okay.
And system hardening, how does that fit in if it doesn't need the network?
System hardening is absolutely vital here. Since Momona operates locally, you need to minimize the local attack surface.
Like what?
Things like disabling unnecessary services, especially scripting engines if possible. Implementing the principle of least privilege, so even if malware runs, it runs with limited rights. Using application control or allow listing, so only approved software can execute. You're basically trying to create a more hostile environment for any unauthorized code, network connected or not, boxing it in locally.
Right, making the internal environment tougher. And prevention is great, but we also need to talk about preparedness, because things can still go wrong.
Uh-huh.
Organizations need solid incident response planning, specifically for this kind of threat, don't they?
Absolutely essential. And it needs tailoring.
How so? What's different for offline self-deleting ransomware?
Well, first, you need rapid response protocols that assume minimal forensic evidence from the malware itself. Your team needs to know how to react when the primary culprit has vanished. Focus on containment, system restoration, and analyzing the effects and potential entry points.
Okay, plan for vanishing evidence. What about recovery?
Backup strategies become even more critical, and they need to explicitly account for local encryption attacks. This really hammers home the need for robust, offline, air-gapped backups.
The 3-2-1 rule on steroids.
Kinda, yeah. Because if Momona encrypts your local drive and your connected backup drive, you're in deep trouble. Those backups need to be truly isolated and immutable if possible. Your last line of defense has to be secure from local attacks.
Offline means offline, got it. Anything else for IR planning?
Clear communication procedures. When an incident happens and the security team says, we can't find the malware file, people need to understand what that means, what the next steps are, without panicking. Everyone needs to be on the same page about dealing with these ghost-like threats.
Okay. This feels significant. The broader impact on the cybersecurity industry sounds like more than just another threat. It feels like Momona represents a real shift.
I think it does. It really signals a significant shift, or maybe an acceleration of a shift, in ransomware development. Moving away from complex operations that need infrastructure towards these simplified, lean, self-contained attacks.
What are the big implications of that shift?
Several things. One, it potentially lowers the barrier to entry. Attackers don't need to manage complex C2 servers. They just need to get the payload delivered. Two, as we've discussed, it drastically increases stealth during the attack. And three, it seriously ramps up the forensic challenges after the attack.
Making it harder to catch, harder to analyze, easier to launch. Not great.
Not great at all. It forces the entire industry, vendors, security teams, researchers, to reevaluate. We need better behavioral detection, more focus on endpoint visibility, proactive monitoring that isn't just network-based, and enhanced IR processes ready for evidence-light scenarios.
So let's really bring this home for organizations listening. What are the concrete steps? What are the immediate actions they should be taking, like right now?
Okay, immediate actions. First, review and update your security policies. Make sure they explicitly address risks from offline and self-contained malware. Second, enhance your monitoring. Tune your EDR, your logging, your FIM, specifically to look for those local file encryption behaviors, those weird command lines.
Be watching for the actions.
Exactly. Third, triple check your backup systems. Are they truly isolated? Can you restore quickly? Test them. And fourth, staff training. Right now, remind everyone about the danger of unknown files, suspicious downloads, and encourage reporting of any weird system behavior.
Okay, immediate steps covered. What about the long game? The long-term strategies to stay ahead?
Long-term, it's about strategic investment and continuous improvement. That means investing in those advanced EDR and behavioral analysis tools. It's not just a nice to have anymore.
It's foundational.
Right. Also, collaboration. Work with your security vendors. Push them on how their tools detect these kinds of self-contained offline threats. Share threat intelligence. And finally, it's about building a cycle of continuous improvement. Regular threat modeling, maybe monthly security posture assessments focusing on endpoint visibility, and at least quarterly reviews and simulations of your incident response plan against these types of scenarios.
Constant vigilance, constant adaptation.
That's the name of the game now.
So, wrapping this up, What does this all really mean for you, our listener?
Well, Momona ransomware, it's more than just another piece of malware. It genuinely represents a new phase, stealthy, self-contained threats that can sidestep a lot of traditional security.
Mm-hmm.
It's a loud signal that cybersecurity focus is really shifting. It has to shift away from just watching the network perimeter towards understanding behavior on the endpoint inside the system itself.
Exactly. So the key takeaways for you. Remember that multi-layered approach, but emphasize that advanced endpoint protection, the EDR, the behavioral analysis. Don't forget user education, turning your people into alert sensors. And critically, have that proactive, robust incident response plan ready. One that specifically accounts for the possibility of vanishing evidence and relies on solid offline backups.
And maybe a final thought to leave you with. As threats like Momona evolve, as they learn to operate entirely within your own local systems, leaving maybe no trace of themselves behind, how does that challenge your fundamental assumptions about what secure really means for your own computer or for your entire organization, especially when the attacker cleans up after themselves so effectively?
That is definitely something to chew on. How secure are you if the threat disappears without a trace? We encourage you to think about that and continue your own deep dive into building cyber resilience.
Stay safe.
Until next time, stay safe out there.